Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, baby.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday, the 21st of December. Many happy returns. Are we going to be Are we going to be putting out Thursday's show on Christmas Eve?
Baby.
That's going to be exciting, isn't it? That's going to be exciting.
Yeah. Is it going to be exciting, or have you just overhyped it?
A little bit. I mean, we're going to be recording it in a bit, so we'll find out.
We've got no plans. So I don't know what you've got, obviously, but I've got nothing.
It's basically this show, but more of it.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely right. How are you, Peter?
I'm good. It sounds like, I mean, talking to and experiencing people's like social media outbursts on Twitter, I think I might be doing considerably better than everyone else. I'm all right. I'm happy.
Yeah. I normally...
Everyone is losing their minds.
They are. And it's a difficult time for everyone, isn't it? And we should show solidarity with all of our listeners to say that they must...
Indeed.
We understand everyone's having a difficult time. But yeah, I normally keep... I mean, back in the day, as you well know, I used to pipe up on Twitter. But more recently, right. I've kept my light under a bushel.
Council.
I would say, yeah. Until the weekend.
Light, come on.
Yeah. No, it's fair
darkness.
Enough.
Very much
my plague under a bushel. but I exploded over the weekend at Zach Goldsmith. So. That was a bit of a release.
Yeah.
I've had a bit of a week of it, so that was a nice little pressure release.
Yeah, you've had a rough little time of it. So obviously, if we deal with the bigger problems and then you're... slightly smaller problems, I'm going to say, but to you, obviously, much bigger. We're now in lockdown. Obviously, a lot of parts of the country in the UK are in tiers 2 and 3. London, and certainly where I am, is tier 4. Here to kind of like, I didn't really realize that tier 4 existed until we were in it, Luke.
No, it's like Spinal Tap when they just turned everything up to 11. Why not just make 10 louder? Nah, it's what goes up to 11. Just make tier 3 harsher. No, we're in tier 4 now. Someone said over the weekend on Twitter that tier 11 will just be Boris Johnson circling over you in a helicopter, sniping you if you try and put the bins out.
Oh, lordy. Yeah, it's been a funny few days. So for a lot of people, they've had to reverse all of their plans for Christmas. Have you had to make many changes?
I'm one of those people, yeah. So,
are you? Really?
Sadly, look, in the grand scheme of things, it's not the end of the world. I know people have had it far worse than I have, and we've got a pretty good setup here, Mimi and I, so I can't complain too much. But I mean, I feel sorry for my parents, obviously, and for, you know, my niece who can't see her grandparents over Christmas and all that kind of stuff. And then the worst thing about it, Pete, is not that the situation. I think people broadly understand the situation, unless you're a tinfoil hat wearing buffoon, you know that how important it is. The problem is the message and delivery of the message and the timing of the message, right? So it might feel like a small thing to some people, but like, for example, my parents have now got a kitchen full of food, no one to eat it. You know, and there'll be people out there who've train tickets and all the rest of it. We had a nightmare. I was spent the weekend speaking to a lot of our colleagues at Stakhanov about what they're going to do, because obviously a lot of them are younger and have made their plans. They're not sure what to do, and yeah, it's just a whole faff, really. So it's been a difficult time. Obviously, I got my bag swiped on Tuesday as well, which made things a lot more difficult. So all in all, oh, and by the way, also, for those eagle-eared listeners, as I like to call them, who will notice that I'm not on the Football Ramble this week, that's because I've also been told I've got to isolate because my test and trace app pinged. So
oh, really?
I'm stuck in the house until Boxing Day anyway. So in actual fact, Pete, if the tiers hadn't changed, for my situation personally, it would have been worse because I would have technically been able to go to see my parents, but I wouldn't have been able to because I would have been isolating. So I had to stay indoors until Boxing Day, mate.
Well, I sort of noticed there's this kind of like valley, like south of London, not including like places like Kent. Like you've got this kind of like tier two wonderland until you get to Gosport.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
Yeah, Surrey and Hampshire's like not in tier four. And then as soon as you get to Portsmouth and Gosport, it's in tier four again. Yeah, I think there's
It jumps straight over three and four.
I think there's been a lot of pressure on the hospitals down there. And as ever, you know, I don't want to make this a kind of more broad political point, but there aren't as many hospitals down there as there used to be. So what a surprise, they're being overwhelmed. So there used to be a big hospital in Gosport itself called Haslar, which is a Navy hospital. That was closed to all intents and purposes a few years ago. So now everyone's relying on QA in Portsmouth, which is about, I don't know, a 6 or 7 mile drive away. So I mean, I imagine it's under an awful lot of pressure. So look, it's not a great time, but it is Christmas week, so maybe we should just try and keep it positive. You know, I had my bag stolen, but I got my notepad back thanks to a good Samaritan, so that's a nice thing. And yeah, we just have to push on, Pete. We just got to do our thing. Yeah. What's happening with you anyway? That's enough about me. What are you doing?
I'm just interested about this whole hospital thing, because presumably a hospital nearer the coast has literally half the catchment area, so it should be half as full, surely.
I don't know what the thinking is. Some reason we don't.
That was certainly the rationale for closing Hartlepool Hospital, because we're on the coast. The smart money is to put a hospital away from the coast, because then you are serving everyone in a 360 kind of like direction. But if your hospital is on the coast, you're only serving 180% because you're on the coast. Fascinating.
That's a weird thing. I never really thought about that before.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Why don't someone think of the fish? They need hospitals as well.
So I know, a little fish hospital. Can I get a quick update on the lad who found your... This is the exciting story. Like, this lad just found your notebook and your bag somewhere in the middle of nowhere, or...
So shout out to Callum. I Instagrammed about him. Good kid. So I was in the pub on Tuesday, the night before the pubs were closing down again. And we went for a couple of drinks with Sam, aka cameraman Sam, who had stopped working with us. And obviously you can only have a certain amount of people going out, but we thought we'd just have a quick drink with him. And as I was in the pub garden, I guess when my back was turned, my bag was on the floor. And the pub garden was full of bags. There was like 50 bags there. But mine got swiped, basically. Right. I only realised when I went to leave, and it had everything in it. So it had my laptop, 2 pairs of headphones, because obviously work, I need certain types of headphones, and my sunglasses, but most importantly, my notepad, right, which has got everything in it. All my work for the last year is in it. So notes and ideas and situation, places where I am with certain projects.
Daubings.
Rude daubings. I got really good at drawing a lady's breast in a graffiti style that I was gonna actually transfer over to maybe doing it on the side of a wall or something. So that was all gone. But I got off the next night, and I was kind of resigned to have lost everything. But the next night, I got a phone call from an unknown number, and it was this kid, and I could hear his mum in the background telling him the questions to ask me. And turns out he was on he's at home in North London, because he's back for Christmas from university, and he was walking back from seeing his mate, and he saw my notepad on the side of the pavement, picked it up, and found my mobile phone number in it, and called me, and arranged for me to come round to his place to pick it up. So I had a nice socially distanced chat with him and his mum, and gave him a little reward and a Christmas card, and he gave him my notepad back. So I'm looking at it right now. I've got the notepad back, thankfully. So everything else is replaceable. Of course, it costs money, and that's a pain. But the notepad was irreplaceable, but thankfully it is now back in my possession.
Is it damaged? Was it water damaged at any point?
No.
Obviously, the problem I'll find when things like Amazon deliveries turn up, we have got a bit round the back of the house where they can just throw packages, and goodness me, they do.
Yeah.
But then on a rainy day, it don't have to get soggy.
So I was fortunate. So what he also did, Callum, bless him, he's a really good kid. I mean, I know I'm older, but I'm at the stage now where I was thinking, if he was my son, I'd be so proud, because he's done the right thing. He's gone out of his way to help someone out like a week or two before Christmas. And he's, I hope he gets some good karma out of it, because he definitely deserves it.
I would have sent pages back one by one.
Yeah, one by one.
The rest of your
But Pete, what about this? This is the measure of the man he is. He all the associated paperwork that I had stuffed in my notepad, he went around and picked it all up and put it all back in there. And so so luckily it wasn't raining or anything, so I got it back in pretty much the same condition it was in before when I lost it. You wouldn't even know, really. It's in good
nick. How far had it travelled?
I don't know. I think what's happened is some idiot, some crackhead or something, has stolen it, has legged it down the road. So basically, you know where the Elwyn Castle is, in that pub?
Yeah.
And then the road that goes up from that to the office, it was like halfway between on the main road. So they legged it up that road, opened the bag, taken all the stuff they wanted out of it, and then just chucked the rest of it to the side of the street. So so all the other stuff, like water bottle.
Nalgene.
I know, the Nalgene, mate. The Nalgene.
Did you sort of go back and find it in the street, or
I tried to find it, but it wasn't there by the time I got back.
Did you find, because the only time I've ever had stuff stolen off me in London, I found a lot of my stuff in the bins behind the place where I'd got the stuff stolen. I found like a couple of business cards that someone had given me from my wallet. It was just very interesting, and it all smelled of onions because it had been in a bin. But I was just wondering.
No, I didn't. From piecing it together and from what young Callum told me, they just chucked it all by the side of the road. So it was no chance I could get anything
littering
else
as
back.
Well to add to their rap sheet.
I know. I've, you'll be pleased to know that I've already got a replacement now, Gene. So, but the thing is, I know this sounds mental, and people listening hopefully they'll understand what I mean. But the Nalgenes are made in such a way that you get little bumps and creases and scratches on them, and they become quite personalised. And so I'm actually quite sad that I'm not going to see the old Nalgene again. I mean, you presumably can't believe your luck.
That last sentence was the most pathetic thing I've ever heard.
And that's you saying it.
And that's me saying it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So anyway, Peter, that's enough about me.
On your feet.
Thank you very much.
You bought some malfunctioning headphones that restricted our recording of the show to 10 minutes late.
And also, the backup headphones I found at the back of a drawer, which I don't normally use because my cat chewed through the cable. So it's a bit of a shitty time, to be honest.
I think... You had an all right year, I'd say, like all things considered, and just the end. It just seems to be really ramping up the pressure on young Moore.
Oh, you'll like this as well. I actually got round to buying myself one of these Garmin watches to check my health and to make sure I'm exercising enough. Mm. Set that up the day before I got told to isolate. So that's can't use that. So great. Anyway, Peter, what's been going on with you? Talk to me about you. How's the beautiful Hertfordshire countryside? What have you been up to?
Not a lot really. I think what's been the major kind of...
You got your Christmas present, right?
Thank you very much. I got my my 24 crate of Tisky. I've piled through about two individual kind of four packs. It's actually good actually, because I can ethically enjoy this Tisky, because somebody pointed out on Twitter that I think the creators of the craftsmen.
Yeah, they're quite problematic, aren't they?
Yeah, they're quite problematic. And so thank you for giving me the gift of Tisky over Christmas that I can ethically drink, because I didn't realise that, they're problematic individuals. So I'm on the hunt for an alternative fizzy lager, if anyone's got any suggestions.
Isn't Lech one that they have in Poland as well?
Yeah, Lech or what's the other one? Is it Krul or something?
Lech would be fitting for you.
I'm just preparing for Christmas, getting a.
What are you
going to
be doing if your plans change then?
Ginger white. But it's fine. I'm happy. I like Christmas. I was never going to go and see my parents anyway, because they are travelling from Hartlepool to Manchester. I've still not seen me little niece, Sophie. She was born in August.
Man, this year.
Still not got to see her, but. We had a little video call. She was on in fine fettle on fine form. My niece keeps on getting Emma. It keeps on really annoying her mum, who is a staunch feminist, and she really loves Disney princesses.
Yeah.
Which are frequently not the most kind of like progressive female kind of empowered figures in sort of Disney lore. So my sister's very very wound up about the fact that the lure of the Disney princess is too much for baby.
Well, you've got to steer her. To the right one. So basically,
the ones, yeah.
Yeah, the more recent ones aren't as bad. So like Moana's pretty good. She's pretty fearless. And she's sort of told that she can do whatever she wants to do. And because my niece is the same, right? So my niece loves all that Disney stuff. But I also pepper her. I've tried as much as I can in my capacity as uncle and with Mimi as well, who's also very, very staunch feminist as well. We try to pepper her with books and little things like t-shirts to show that like she can be whatever she wants to be, and the fact that she's a girl shouldn't change anything. So she's got that book Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, which is amazing, which is this amazing bedtime storybook about all the most brilliant women in history. She's also got a t-shirt she loves to wear with all like quite radical influential and really high achieving women on it. And so what I think what it's about is not being a killjoy about it, not kind of saying, oh, well, just because you're a girl who has expectations, you can't enjoy these kind of stories, because they are effectively fairy stories. And kids at the age of 4 or 5 don't give a shit about that. But it's about making sure, I think, you condition them to understand that there should be no limitations on what they can have out of life because they're female, you know? So I would definitely advise against being a complete killjoy about it. I think there's a place for all of it, because it is part of big popular culture. And also, Pete, the last thing you want is for her not to be able to relate to her friends or whatever, because she doesn't watch any of the same things or enjoy any of the same things that they enjoy. So I think there's a balance to be struck, my man. That's what I would say.
I agree. I would say that.
Or just get her a can of Tisky. You can be whatever you want. Anything you want, Riley's down, yeah?
You can do whatever you want. You can drive.
You feel more confident.
Yeah, true. I got back to the train station, and I'd forgot I'd put my scooter at the train station, and I got off, and I got off the train, and then I was about to get on my scooter, and I was like, hang on, I've had like a beer and a half here.
You've got to be careful.
Oh no, I know, because I've never ever been on the road ever. I was like, oh crap, yeah, I completely forgot. So I almost,
how many times, be honest, how many times you've done it before you realise?
Oh dear, lordy, terrible. Oh,
Pete, speaking of young kids and that, did you see that story? I think it was in the Mirror. It came out over the last week or so about this mum and her daughter being in the school nativity play. So basically, right, for those who haven't seen it, this mum refused to attend her daughter's Christmas school play because her daughter was a tree. Right now, I'm trying to empathise with this position. I understand that might be a bit disappointing because everyone wants to think their kid is like the star of the show. But when you drill down into the story a bit more, apparently the kid who's in second grade, so I don't know how old that would be, like 7 maybe, 6 or 7. apparently she wanted to be a tree. She chose to be a tree because she didn't want to sing, right? It's the kid's own decision, right? Yet the mum still refused to go because, quote unquote, I'm not taking a day off work because trees don't do anything. That's so sad. Isn't that so sad?
Anyone on like the Reddit kind of, okay, because I think this story came from Reddit, and like anyone who's asking the question, am I a dickhead on Reddit?
Yeah, on that. You're a dickhead.
If you don't already know, you are a dickhead. It's just
I saw one of those the other day, which was, am I a dickhead for not being pleased my wife got a promotion? Yes! That is the most open and shut case of a dickhead I've ever heard.
There's just so many like controlling men and women who are just kind of like, oh, this is, something's changed in my life and I don't like it. And why am I feeling weird? And it's okay but to feel totally, weird, but just don't tell anyone about it.
No, I totally get it. Like, so you know, like the reason that Larry David on Curb is so good is because like he is unreasonable and he won't let anything go. And he is just incredible, the stuff that he gets up to. But a lot of the time with Larry David, and his character
human,
in that,
it?
Yeah, it's, there is like a, there's like a grain of truth in it. Like, hang on a minute. Yes, Larry is coming out of this looking worse, but the hypocrisy here, or the other side of this, is actually quite interesting. And he's very good at finding those things, right? In this case, and on most of those subreddits, that is not the case. You know, it's basically open and shut stuff. Like, am I being unreasonable, or am I a dickhead because I drove my car into someone else's car and wouldn't give them my insurance details because they looked at me funny. Yes, you are being a complete dickhead. You've been a complete idiot. It's mad.
How, It just makes me laugh that the what is the best case scenario for this mum? Like, what is the best case scenario for this mum regarding like the actual thing? Like, what's she gonna see that is so incredibly exciting? That, you know, what is the deviation between like someone, you know, standing there as a tree and, you know, singing as Mary or whatever, or as one of the donkeys?
Yeah.
I don't know what the, you know, because I remember being at school and I remember being given, I got given a good role in a play of an old man in the Nativity, but it didn't really make, it was a non-denominational school in primary school before I moved to Catholic school. So the actual play was, I was like an old man and it didn't really make much sense. And I think in the final Nativity play, that role got taken off me because I'd stolen some books from the library.
The
mobile library. And also they didn't trust me to learn the lines.
It's not a punishment, is it?
Both adequate things. Both adequate. Yeah, I was annoyed at the time, they settled on me having a fake detached hand, which, you know, probably wouldn't happen these days. A fake detached hand. Walking, it was kind of like an amuse-bouche before the play started. I would walk onto the stage. I would have a fake detachable hand, and I'd go and shake a man's hand and another boy's hand, and the boy would pull my hand off as he shook it, and he would scream and he would run off, and that was all I was allowed to do in the play.
Did you do that before any of the audience turned up? Because that is, I'm speechless here. What relevance has that got to anything?
I know. Yeah, nothing to do with the Nativity. I don't think the old man was a canon bit of Nativity.
No.
But you just run out of roles for kids. That's why some kids are trees.
Is that why that famous picture of you riding on the back of a very upset elephant? Is that how you entered into the play?
Jesus rode a donkey into town.
Yeah, we haven't got one. I've got an elephant, though. I tell you what, that's not bad. I'm disappointed about the lack of donkey, but the elephant is an upgrade. In probably the most ironic thing to ever happen to me, I was one of the three wise men.
Oh, Lukey, which one? Did you, what, yeah, frankincense?
I think I was frankincense, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, and I recently watched, because my niece... school had their nativity play, but no one was allowed to attend because of COVID. They did it on a private YouTube video, and they sent it around to the parents.
Oh yes,
and I was able to watch it, and I thought Betsy was the best. Right, I thought she was the best.
You shouldn't have left that comment though.
Well, no, you couldn't leave comments anyway. But I thought she was the best. But and then I realised straight away that I'm one of those people that just thinks their niece or daughter or whatever is just the best. And admittedly, Bets only had like a couple of lines, but then they only had a couple of lines each anyway because there's so many of them. And she was she might have been the Archangel Gabriel or something. Mm. And she came down and just did a couple of lines, but she was really good.
I got sent one for a mate who lives in New York, so his kid is like this proper New Yorker.
Nice.
And she was doing something, so everyone was like socially distanced and in masks and stuff, but they were doing a little dance. But the problem is, like, she's got hold of a dad's iPad, and she will send me stuff on his iCloud account, so it would come into my phone as if it's from him. So at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'll just get like a ping on my phone, and Tony Windrum, a 40 year old man, will just be sending me a Minions clip on YouTube.
Turn your phone off at night. Because that is mental. Why are you getting pinged in the middle of the night?
Yeah, and you sort of feel, because it's a bear and you feel duty bound to sort of send something back. But then you're like, I don't have that much kind of like safe for work content on my phone. So I'm just like, oh, what? And I don't have any. And so I'm like, all right, so I go on YouTube and I'm trying to find something that she'd like, a cat dancing or something. And I've got to sit there and watch 5 minutes of cats dancing in case there's anything horrific in the middle of it. You know what I mean? Like a fucking suicide or something.
Because this is Larry David stuff. Isn't it?
It is indeed. Isn't it just? Isn't it?
I found a good photo yesterday, which I sent to my sister to show to Bets, my niece, which was a cat in a barber's chair with the little smock on and everything, about to get a haircut.
Oh, that was your cat?
No, it's not my cat. I just saw the
picture.
Oh,
right. Sorry.
Did I send it to you as well?
Yeah, I think you sent it to the Luke and Pete's, the newly titled Luke and Pete Show WhatsApp page.
Yeah, because now we've got a boss on this show that tells us what to do, haven't we?
Well, she's actually listening, isn't it? I completely forgot to invite her to the recording session, and I've only just remembered. She's listening.
That's why we don't pay money for producers, because you don't invite them. They're literally getting money for nothing.
You are uninvited to yeah. our production.
What have you done this week? Nothing. Pete told me absolutely nothing. So, Peter, have you got any more nativity play stories, other than the fact that you were banned from one, and in the other one you played an old man who pulled another man's hand off?
Yeah, no, that's about it, really. I think I was involved when I used to play the cornet or the trumpet. I think I was involved in playing. Why are school level brass instruments, why do they sound so mournful? That's what I want to know. You know, like when you hear like the Salvation Army in the town centre playing, you know, Good King Wenceslas, or, you know, Onward yeah. Christian Soldiers or something. It is the most depressing tone of music I've ever heard in my life. It's just like, oh, mate,
I can remember
jazz
when
it
I was
up
at,
a bit.
So when I was at primary school, two of the main things that I can remember, one is one of the cool teachers, who was also the football coach, who didn't pick me for the district final to be played at Gosport Boroughs Ground. I wasn't even a sub. Right.
Mm.
I still kind of liked him, though. He was still a good teacher and a good football coach. He once tried to show us all how to do a hand clap press up. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, press up, clap, and then press up. Yeah, press up, jump.
And then he ended up breaking his own nose.
Did he really? That is.
Yeah, he did.
That. How did he? I would have just walked into the sea. I would have driven my car. I've embarrassed myself.
He could have walked into the scene about probably under 10 minutes from our school as well. So that was definitely an option for him. Presumably the very cold salt water would have helped his broken nose and the blood.
Exactly.
But anyway, so that's one of the things I remember. The other thing I remember is for some reason, I don't know how this came about, right? But for some reason, I was either instructed or I volunteered, or it was my idea, I don't fully remember, to play the flute, right?
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
My parents obviously couldn't afford a flute because those kind of instruments are astronomically expensive, right? Mm. So it was the flute was probably about 600 quid. And my parents,
straw?
Like, say again?
McDonald's straw?
Could have done that. But the thing is, Pete, the reason I never got into playing the flute is because, you know, you've got to put your mouth in like a weird way to actually start playing it.
You kind of forced into doing, you know, that face that Limmy does sometimes?
Yes, exactly that. Exactly that. Right. So those who aren't flute enthusiasts or flute experts, well, in fact, even if you are, maybe you can email in to confirm this. The flute comes apart, right? It's three parts. You've got the main big bulk with all the buttons on it. You've got, for some reason, you've got a separate end piece with another couple more buttons on it. And then the front piece where you blow, that can just be removed. Now, I don't know if this is de rigueur, but certainly when I was taught how to play the flute, which probably went on for about 3 weeks, and so justified my parents' decision not to buy me one, you just got to use the first bit. So for the whole lesson, all you were doing was blowing into that first bit to show that you could blow into it properly before you even got anywhere near the main thing. I mean, it'd basically be like teaching someone to play the guitar, but for 6 weeks, and there's no strings on the guitar.
But I remember, and just doing like chord patterns. I remember the first few violin lessons being playing like pizzicato, playing it like a guitar, and just getting your finger shapes. And also I remember my first trumpet lessons was just playing, just gone through the mouthpiece. I don't know whether that's like the separating the wheat from the chaff kind of thing. Like, if you can't do that, there's probably no point in us explaining what a spit valve is.
Yeah, the spit valve was disgusting. I remember at orchestra at school, when I used to play, I think I kind of demoted myself to drums by that point. And I can remember
amazing that you just kind of let go, I'll do this now. I can't be asked with the flute, I'll do this.
I went through a load of the different instruments. But anyway, I remember that our school was like quite a strong performing arts school. And the orchestra at the time was like quite a big deal, and so a lot of the teachers used to play in it, right? My tutor, who I quite liked at the time, but looking back on it, it was a bit of a kind of legend in his own lunch hour type thing. He played the trombone, so we had this school orchestra like meet every week, and it'd have all these different instruments, and the tutor played the trombone, right? And I remember him being quite close to me using that spit valve probably three or four times in that hour session, and it just being absolutely disgusting. And listen, in a post-COVID environment now, no way. Not a chance. I'm not getting near the geezer.
What is the people who have who do play in brass bands and play
well, I think that's all off now.
Sorry, what? Yeah, I guess that is just air, isn't it? I mean, you can't really wear that with a mask, could you?
You can't play a trombone with a mask on. It's ridiculous. You can probably play the drums and conduct, but that's it. Anyway, Peter, we've been talking for ages. We've got to take a break.
Oh yeah, shit. All right,
it's flown by.
Is the break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This week on Stakhanov.
Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy releases a brand new episode exploring the hot topic of head injuries in football. As well as exploring the sport's link with dementia with neuropathologist Dr. Willie Stewart, Melissa spoke to ex-Tottenham star Ryan Mason, who was forced to retire after a devastating head injury aged 26.
I couldn't look at light. I was sleeping for like 20 hours a day. I couldn't really hold a conversation. Like I say, when the brain gets an injury, the body almost just instinctively responds and it almost just shuts everything else down.
Meanwhile, self-care club Wellness Road Tested have launched a brand new epilogue show. Join Lauren and Nicole every Friday where they'll be hearing about your experiences, talking to the experts and reading the very best wellness literature in the self-care book club.
I think it's a totally life-changing book for sisterhood and womankind. It's revolutionary in how to adopt self-love and live for who you are.
Search Between the Lines and Self Care Club on your favourite podcast player.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
That was the break. Did you enjoy it, everybody? But a Christmas festive commercial activity from Stakhanov and Luke and Pete Shaw. Thank you very much for coming. Yeah. If you want to get in touch with the show, it's very simple. Luke, how can people get in touch with the show?
You sound like Bob Mortimer. Does that make me the other one?
I have sort of fallen into Bob Mortimer, kind of. Yeah, my favourite kind of Vic and Bob sketch is always the fun, Tom Fun and Derek. I just love the way that Vic Reeves talked as Derek. We've been kicked out of our accommodation. And he's like, oh, is it gyro day, Tom? It's just two misfits walking around.
I love Vic and Bob. I think they're both national treasures, but I love that undoubtedly... like they would have the idea and Vic would take it to the most ridiculous conclusion. Like, so for example, the MasterChef thing they used to do where before MasterChef became cool and quite watchable when it was just Lloyd Grossman. But obviously they had that idea for Vic to be Lloyd Grossman. And then before you know it, he's got a massive, gigantic forehead. He's fit one finger's a knife, the other finger's a fork. And it's just gone off the scale. But anyway, the email address is hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. This is traditionally the part of the show where we read through a few of your emails. We've actually got a few good ones this week. Pete, have you got one now, or do you want me to do one first?
I have, yeah. Let me just
go for it.
Let me have a look at this.
Either today or Thursday, we've got to do the one we got from the Orthodox Jew.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, why don't we do that then? Let me go to my starred section. Be a category. Hi, fellas. Alex Dover. I don't think Alex sent one back in February, but I don't think we read it out. So apologies, Alex. Following up on your Orthodox Jewish female clergy discussion, I can confirm that there are female rabbis. However, they are almost exclusively from the Reform denomination, who tend to be more on the progressive side of the Jewish spectrum. I would advise not going up to the obviously Orthodox Jewish men and women on the tube and broaching the subject with them, as they do not recognize this branch of Judaism and certainly would not know any female rabbis. However, in my 28 years of practicing Orthodox Judaism, blisters have not come up much, but I get a feeling if I ask my rabbi or of any gender of sex or sex about popping them over old ladies, it would not be considered heaven-worthy behavior. You mentioned that you were short of emails on our show, so maybe you can read my email out that you missed earlier in the cult of all the best. I moved from Jerusalem to Netanya since my last email. Shall I bash the original email out?
Well, we can do, but there's a lot to unpack in that first one. So, the first one comes from the fact that this one was the fact that we were talking about whether there are female clergy in the Orthodox Jewish community. So that's been kind of cleared up. So thank you very much for that, Alex. The second one is about popping the blister over the old lady. It wasn't an old lady, was it?
I would say she was in her 60s.
Oh, okay. That makes it worse. I thought it was a young person.
No, goodness, no. She was getting on, I think. But yeah, it wasn't ideal. Whatever way you slice it, whatever way that you slice
don't my, slice it. His second email. What are these? Are the first time around? Right. Let's see how bad it was.
Alex from Jerusalem, formerly of Manchester, who's now in Netanya, obviously. Hi, fellas. Long time, first time. Second time now. Wanted to add a religiously mandated beer to the beer category discussion. Presumably, we were talking about beer back then in February before this all went to shit. The Jewish festival of Passover, which is in around 6 weeks, celebrates the Israelites leaving Egypt, and one of the main features is the prohibition of consuming all grain products. It's more nuanced than this, but it can be for a different episode at that particular discussion. This means no food or drink that are grain based, as well as ensuring there aren't any of these products in our houses. To go the extra, that's big, isn't it? I haven't get rid of it all. Go the extra mile, we also change over all the kitchen and tableware to special stuff that gets kept in the loft and only gets used on Passover. That's very Christmassy, isn't it? That's kind of
It's nice.
That's societal rather than religious, I'd say, in many ways. The night that Passover finishes, we change everything back to normal and return the Passover stuff to the loft. Having been prohibited from having a beer for 8 days, there is nothing better than the first sip of a cold one while lugging all the boxes up that weird ladder to the loft.
It's great. It's a very niche beer, but I'm enjoying that.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah, I'm having it. Extra fat. Is there a, like, particular brand that's the one that you go for? Is that tied to anything, or are you just, you know, dealer's choice? Extra fact, the Vilna Gaon, one of the biggest rabbis of the 18th century from Lithuania, was said to go straight down to the pub as soon as Passover was over for a swift one. I'm not sure Mrs. Gaon was too happy with the tradition, but if that's what God wants, who am I to argue? All the best, Alex from Jerusalem, Manchester, etc. Thank you very much, fella.
It's good stuff, and in some ways, I'm quite not envious, but I do admire from a distance, because I'm not a religious person. I do admire from a distance the theatre of it and the community of it, and I can see why people want to be involved. But the question I've got
is, who's got the best religious hat?
Oh, they love the hats. That's the thing, isn't it? A lot of it comes from people wanting to wear hats.
Yeah, I like the yarmulke because it's so. It's understated, isn't it? It's like you're going, guys, I'm not all about it, but look on my head.
Yeah,
I'm Jewish. I'm into this.
I like the ones that you see some of the archdeacons wear on some of the big occasions. I mean, who's even thought of a hat like that? I mean, it's incredible.
Japanese women wear big kind of Queen Amidala kind of eggs on the head when they get married. I think that's religious and not just
very nice.
Something you do.
But the question I was going to ask, and I don't mean this in an offensive way, it's a genuine question.
Depends on how it comes out, isn't it?
why do people think that an omnipotent, omniscient God, I mean, he can do anything, right? Mm. He can do anything. Why do people think that he would care about the detail? Why do you think he spends his time, or her time, whatever, worrying about what food people are eating on a certain day? It's a genuine question. I think he's going to be a big picture guy. He's got the whole universe to worry about. I just don't think he's going to be spending his time getting bogged down on that. So if anything is going to get you a pass when you go up there, it's probably going to be that.
I think it's the brown M&Ms, mate. I think it's you know, look after the detail and the rest will just sort of fall into place.
I ate a massive bag of peanut butter M&Ms last night, and there was nothing holy about that, let me tell you.
Or was it brown Skittles? I can't remember. What was the one that...
Brown M&Ms. Do you know the story about that? Do you know what the story is behind that?
Yeah.
Do you think our listeners would be interested, or should I just leave it?
I would say it's a well-worn path, but I mean, if you could do it in 10 seconds, do the story of Van Halen and the brown M&Ms in 10 seconds, starting in 5 seconds, you'll be a man, my son. 5, 4, 3, 2, go.
They put the request for brown M&Ms to be removed because they wanted to make sure that the tech people were paying attention to the rider and that everything would be done properly.
Yes!
There you go. That was 10 seconds, right? I don't know if it made any sense, but... If you need further clarification, just tweet me, guys. Tweet me.
on God and all that, I remember, I can't remember the name of the stand-up, but he made a point. He said he was walking somewhere and he saw a guy with a yarmulke that was like a slice of watermelon. And he sort of said, look, if God is that kind of like laissez-faire about you having a watermelon yarmulke, I think you'd be all right with not wearing it at all, to be honest. Because like you say,
it's a really good point.
Todd Barry was a stand-up.
I'm
just having some fun with it. Well, maybe don't wear it at all then, mate.
You're taking the piss. Should we squeeze one more email in before we go? Because you just reminded me, just by saying, making me think of the word fruit, I found another email this week that was sent in by Gary that I enjoyed. So I'm going to read that one. He says, hi, guys. By the way, everyone, I've got a really squeaky chair. I'm sorry about that. So if you hear these weird noises, it's this chair that I've had since I was 8 years old that I refuse to throw out. And my wife wants rid of, but I'm keeping it. So I understand it's not conducive to a record. So apologies if you can hear it in the background. I'll endeavour not to use it next time. I just completely forgot that I was sat on it. So apologies for that. Anyway, Gary says, hi, guys. Just listening to you talk about what arcade machines you would have in pubs. And Luke asks, do you get to choose and do you get to keep the money? So here's a bit of information. Before I get into it, though, I did follow our other listeners' advice and try and play a bit of Black Tiger on the MacBook.
Oh, yeah.
The arcade emulator. Fucking appalling. I wish I'd never done it. It's abysmal. I fucking ruined my own childhood. I should never have done it.
It's not known as a classic. I mean, I've never...
Mate, back in the day, it was epic.
Yeah, it may have been in Gospot where the...
No, this was in Mallorca, mate, in Palma, in Mallorca.
Right. Okay, yeah. Right. Yeah, I've just never heard of it before you mentioned it.
Gary goes on to say, yeah, it's not like a, do you know what was also really good? Operation Wolf. We ain't got time for that now. Anyway, Gary also says, I remember back in the early 90s when we as kids could spend a whole Saturday in the pub after our dad's football team had played, living on a healthy diet of Panda Pops and crisps, waiting for Gladiators to start. And we were told about a special fruit machine. In the pub, there was a fruit machine of which the brewery had a choice as to what went in and took a large cut of it, basically. So they would put the fruit machine in there and they would take a cut. And Gary estimates it was something like 80% goes to the brewery. However,
right.
Somebody knew of another one going cheap, and this was the special fruit machine. They put that one in there and they turned the original one off and put a sign on it saying out of order. Then the money that was made on the new special fruit machine went out and was shared between the landlord and the team of staff, which is a great... Oh, no, sorry, not the team of staff, the football team, which was a great way to enhance the football team's sponsorship deal. So I guess they had loads of money for the end of season piss-up or whatever. He said the plan went really well until a brewery official came to inspect the pub. Apologies had to be made for the misunderstanding, but it did raise a few quid for everyone involved. And that's from Gary. That's a great little scheme. I love those things. You can't get away with that kind of stuff anymore because everything's fucking automated and bureaucracy.
Everything's automated. Everything will there'll be like, yeah, you'll have some kind of like microchip in the fruit machine that figures it all out and absolutely shops you to the busies.
I'll tell you what, Pete, you're absolutely right. And back in the day when I used to go to my local, when I was living back down south, the Seahorse was our local for a while. Good pub. I used to be quite fascinated by the guy who used to turn up fixing the fruit machines. It seemed like a great job to me. Like driving around, fixing different fruit machines and different
like
pubs,
the Wichita having a little spin.
Yeah, I think it's a bit like that, isn't it? It's a bit like a real kind of working class British
transient
version of the Wichita
kind of
Lineman.
It's like a transient.
I am a fruit machine man for the county. But Pete, would that not be a good job? You just, a swift pint in the ear or there, you know,
well,
fixing the fruit machine, chatting
well,
to the locals.
Be you'd be in a van because you'd have fruit machine bits coming out your behind.
True.
You? So, and you'd be delivering fruit machines. So it wouldn't just be coming and fixing that. You'll be doing easy fixes. You'd be unclogging dirty people who put dirty old guineas in there and that. That's all it is.
Where's that come from? A guinea?
Yeah, well, I'd say people would be trying to put... Do you remember guineas? Guineas were in my house quite a lot in the 80s.
No, I remember halfpennies.
I don't remember those. I remember half... Oh, yeah. What? Halfpennies as in half pennies?
Yeah.
I remember half pennies. Did we ever... Would we have ever used them?
I don't think so, but in that big Bell's whiskey bottle that my parents used to keep changing, there was a load of half pennies in there.
Oh, God. Imagine, like, the one day we have Natalie, our producer, listening, that is... That is what we're talking about. Half pennies and guineas.
But so I would have thought that a fruit machine mechanic in a nice town out of the way somewhere would be a perfect job for you. You're telling me you don't want it?
Well, I like the idea of like not having to talk to anybody.
Fixing things?
Just coming in and sort of, yeah, just having that kind of ego boost of being the man who comes in and sorts it out. You're like the wolf out of Pulp Fiction, but with more dirty guineas.
More coins.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's get out of here. I think
this has been a long one.
It's been a long one, hasn't it? Yeah. We're just
flown by.
Follow the joys of spring, mate. Follow the joys of spring. We'll be back on Thursday, Christmas Eve. If you've got time to review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, that would be appreciated because it turns out it helps in an inexplicable way. It bloody helps, doesn't it, Luke?
Yeah, and I think if you do listen to this show and you don't think it's worth 5 stars, take a moment to stop being so arrogant and think that you might be wrong and then give it 5 stars anyway, because we could be right and you could be wrong. It's possible.
Mm. Well, I just think that if you've sat down and listened to this for half an hour, it's like when I buy a video game that's not very good. I have to play it to its end.
Yeah, you've come this
otherwise
far.
Otherwise, I've just wasted the money. Yeah, I wasted the money. You've given us half an hour of your time, nearly 40 minutes this episode. If you don't think it's worth it, then... You know, you've let yourself down. If nobody else.
See it through to the end, you
exactly,
coward.
Yeah, for once in your life. For once in your fucking life, you loser. L-O-S-E-R, loser.
And if you think this is bad, we've done 10 full minutes on dog shit before. So strap yourself in. Anyway, we'll see you on Christmas Eve. We're going to pre-record Christmas Eve's episode because by the time it comes out, I will be pissed. See you next time.
Ta-ta.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.